Good evening. We're holding Binyan HaBayit. Our class is on building a Jewish home. And as usual, we're going to begin with reading from the Sefer Ishu Beito, by Rav Eliyahu Kitov. And then we'll go off to discuss concepts. We're holding page 25 in the Hebrew version. The heading is Lo Tov Ve'yot HaAdam Levado. When God says that he's going to create woman, so the pasuk describes what led to that creation. Doesn't say why God created the world in the Torah. Doesn't say why God created land. Doesn't say why God created water. Doesn't say why God created fish. Doesn't say why God even created man. It describes man's creation with greater detail than any other creation. Says Naaseh Adam b'tzadmenu k'dmutenu, let's make man, but it doesn't say why. When it comes to woman, so then the pasuk describes how every living organism was given a name by Adam. It doesn't say every living organism. It says Adam shemot lechol ha'beima lechol chayat ha'sadeh. Adam gave names to all the different animals, all the wild animals in the field. And for Adam, he did not find, doesn't say who's the he, lo matza, who didn't find? God didn't find, so to speak, or Adam didn't find, doesn't say. Ezer, he did not find an Ezer kenegdo, whatever that is. And then God says, lo tov eyot ha'adam levado, it's not good that man is alone. Eselo Ezer kenegdo, I'll make for him an Ezer Kenegdo. It says he didn't find an Ezer Kenegdo, so God said it's not good that he's alone. I will make for him an Ezer Kenegdo. And that's the heading of the chapter. Lo Tov. It is not Tov. We'll translate that as it's not. Heyota Adam's being alone. And the chapter begins with a quote from the Midrash. When Chava, Eve, had Cain, so she proclaimed, "Kaniti ish et Hashem, I have acquired a man, together with God." L'shavar Adam nivra, Adam nivra me'adama. The Midrash says, "And the created from the earth." V'chava nivret min Adam, and Eve was created from Adam, from Adam. Mikan ve'ilach, from now on, b'tzalmenu kidmutenu. Man is supposed to be in our form, whatever that means. Lo ish belo isha, velo isha velo ish, velo shnehem belo shechina. No man without a woman, no woman without a man, and no two of them without the shechina. And that's the introduction to our chapter. Heyota Adam nevado. Rav Eliyahu Kitov says, when a man is alone, Loto, that's classified as no good. Now, we could take that loosely and say, that's no good. Or we could take that more literally and say, no good. There's absolutely no good in life. You date and you reach a point where you feel like you have the curse of the snake. That the snake, everything it tasted like dirt, right? That's the curse. Yeah, whatever you eat, you could eat the yummiest thing in the world, it'll always taste like dirt. So he said, you reach a point in life where you feel like without getting married, everything's going to be tasteless. You have the curse of the snake. That's what he said. I think there's truth to that. So we're going to have to see what words. No good. Man's being alone. Heyota adami mishto. So man being with his wife. If being alone is classified as lo tov, so being together is classified as tov. Shekol amvatelet mitzvat boro liyot poreh umarbe toladot. All who undo their creator's commandment to procreate, to have children, to have many children. Na'asa shutaf el hara shebabriya. He becomes a partner to that which is bad in creation. Meaning, we've evolved. A minute ago we were discussing good, and no good. And now we're discussing bad. We could all see there's a difference between no good and bad, right? Bad is worse than no good. And what he's telling us now is that when a person is not to be married and have children, when he's not a partner in creation, and we discussed last week how home is the foundation of our being partners in creation, so he's being a partner with what we would call Ra. אבל כל המקיים מצווה זו, all who do fulfill this mitzvah, this commandment, נעשה שותף אל הטוב הגמור. In becoming a partner with what is complete good. רצונו, his will, מעיין טהור, is like a pure spring. וכוחו, and his strength, מקור השופע אהבה ורחמים קדושה וחסד, is a source that spews forth love and kindness and holiness and chesed. Now, this is something that sounds esoteric. What's going on here? Just get married, suddenly you're a good guy. That's it. Connected with what's good in creation and shalom aleich nafshi.
Is that the idea of like your sins go away?
We'll discuss that. We'll discuss that later. It's a good point. When a person gets married, so you think, it's great. I'm with a wife, and here we just heard how much good there is in that. Well, the good in that stems from the difficulties in that. If it were so easy living with someone and waking up every morning and taking out the garbage and thinking about how that person wants us to live and matching ourselves to their life, well, then it wouldn't be so good. The idea of good is giving. And the good in the marriage is what's difficult in the marriage. When we say that when a person gets married is starting to have love and kindness, that's because he's going to give. When a person enters marriage, he has to be prepared to give and give and give and give. And we discussed in the past that the term ahava, some want to say stems from the word in Aramaic, hav. Hav means give. Ahava is the act of giving. Ahava is not what we call love. We translate it loosely as love, but it's not.
What's the word for love?
I don't know.
You're saying over here, you're saying.
I think in general, it's not an exact translation. Look up the word love, look up the word ahava, and their definitions won't match. Look up in the dictionary.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe these days they translate ahava as love, so they will match.
It's like so accepted.
Yeah, okay, could be.
So what's the translation for love?
Let's leave that. Let's Rav Salant used to tell a couple when they got married, remember that your spouse's gashmiut, their physical ones are your ruchniut. They're your source of spirituality. A guy could say, what does she want that necklace for? What does she need a new dress for? Why does she want me to go for a walk with her? I should be learning Torah, right? Well, you should be learning Torah, but you also have to remember that giving your wife the physical things that she wants for you is something spiritual and should be viewed as such. In MTJ, Rav Moshe Feinstein's yeshiva, so every person that got engaged, I got married, and then every person when they got married, they'd have Shev Brachos in Yeshiva. And one thing that they always were careful to tell the Chassan, even though we all heard it beforehand, when we were there at Shev Brachos of our friends, every Chassan got this speech, remember this. And I think there's good reason, because especially when people strive for spirituality, so it's very easy to forego things that seem less than spiritual. And we have to remember that a spiritual person recognizes a spirituality in doing the physical also, in doing the simple things, in taking out the garbage. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach used to get upset when he saw women whose husbands were learning, and that's why they weren't home. So they couldn't help their wives take the jerrycans with fuel up the steps. So he, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, talking about one who was considered chief rabbi of Jerusalem, he never had that title. That's what he was considered. With his long coat and his beard and his hat, he would carry it up. When he'd walk down the street and see a woman carrying up the jerrycans with fuel, you know what a jerrycan is?
Yeah.
So he'd go and carry it up. If he saw a couple that didn't want a hold of the Erev, so the husband says, it's not befitting for me to carry things on Shabbos. I want to live on a higher level of stringency. I'm not carrying on Shabbos. But the wife wants to go around with the kids. So she's pushing the carriage up the hill. And he's not carrying. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach got very upset at that. Why is she doing the schlepping? We're going to see that Chazal taught us, Mechabda yoter megufo. A husband's job is to honor his wife more than himself. And that has halachic relevance. There's a tight budget. Who's going to get a new suit for Yom Tov? She should get the new suit, not he. Later today, we're going to discuss the concept of kavod. Last week we discussed Ahava, and this week we're going to discuss Kavod. But we have to remember that when Rav Kitov is telling us that when a person gets married, he is connecting to the good in the world, that's because until one gets married, it's very easy, especially for guys. Our autonomy is basically sealed. Sometimes we have a roommate that gets on our nerves. Sometimes we have a chavrusa that gets on our nerves. Maybe a rabbi that gets on our nerves. But at the end of the day, we walk into the room, we close the door, we do whatever we want. When you get married, that doesn't work. When you walk into the room, she's there. And that's good that she's there. And you have to work things out, and you have to know how to give, and give, and give. And one has to approach marriage with that attitude. The question isn't, well, when was the last time you took out the garbage? Question is, when's the next time I could take out the garbage? Take out the garbage.
Like,
that has to be that.
The kids. It's not my turn, it's your turn. The brother's going
to be surprised. One of the things that today they recommend to couples, but Chazal has been telling it to us for generations, is don't keep a tally card. Well, I did this and I did that and I did the other thing. What difference does it make? So you helped her with that. What's wrong? People have to also know that helping your wife is also a mitzvah. So our sages told us, "Umibsacha al titalam," and we've discussed that the concept of "Ve'avta l'racha kamocha" applies to the wife. Our sages told us, "See a girl before you marry her; she won't be good looking, and later on, you're going to have trouble because she doesn't meet your standards. Then you didn't do a nice thing to this woman." Our sages then say, and the Torah commands us, "Ve'avta l'racha kamocha." We see our sages very simply put it: remember, to your wife, you also have "Ve'avta l'racha kamocha." So when Rav Kitov is telling us that by getting married we're connecting to good and giving, it's not that it's a magic formula. You're married, that's it, you're a good person. No. If you're going to have a good marriage, if you're going to be a good husband, if you're going to give, if you're going to help the way you should, so then you're connecting with the good. And naturally, a good home is going to require that, especially today. Especially today. Once upon a time, people lived in extended families. So the wife had a lot of help. Not all the cleaning fell on her. Not all the child rearing fell on her, the shopping and whatever shopping they had then. Even though things were harder, they didn't have washing machines, they didn't have fires like we had, they didn't have water, running water like we had, but there were a lot of people sharing the workload. Today, everything falls on her. So it's true, she has a washing machine, she has a dryer, she has an iron, she has running water, she doesn't have to have someone fetch the water from the well, and there are a lot of things that are easier, but the balance isn't a balance there. Meaning there's so much more work that's expected of her that she can't do it within a 24-hour day. I mean, if she's home all day, then, and there's one kid, then probably she could do it. Even then, it's hard. So as husbands, you got to be prepared to help. Once we touched on the subject, someone asked that we address it more, so we'll expand a little bit. There's nothing wrong with a husband doing dishes. There's something wrong with a husband that has a rule, I don't do dishes. What does it mean you don't do dishes? So there are those husbands that say, I work all day long and all night. I work till I don't know what hour. By the time I get home, I don't want to do dishes. I'll pay, we'll have a maid, we'll have the help in order so that I won't do the dishes. Yeah, a guy could try to figure out such a compromise. But at the end of the day, there are going to be things that he has to help. It's not enough to have a maid. Sometimes you need help dressing the kids to go out to the doctor. Sometimes you need help going to the doctor. Sometimes you need two people listening to what the doctor says. Two sets of ears. And sometimes you have to babysit. There are a lot of things that a person could supplement with money, but at the end of the day, every husband has to be prepared to help. And a person that's learning, so there are times that a person's going to be on the phone. So when he's on the phone, he could help clean up the toys. He could do the dishes. That's a person who's really maximizing his time. The person is like most people, and he's taking time out to take his breaks. So instead of taking breaks, he should help around the house. Of course, a husband's supposed to help around the house. כיוון שאין עולם מתקיים, we're back by Rav Kito, כיוון שאין עולם מתקיים ואינו מתברך אלא על ידי הנישואין, being that the world doesn't remain existent and does not get blessed in any other fashion than through marriage, without marriage there would be nothing to bless, there would be nothing for the world to be existent for, we wouldn't have children. לפיכך אמרו חכמינו הראשונים זיכרונם לברכה, therefore our sages explained the verse that says in the Torah, when the Torah describes the curses, if we don't keep the Torah says a person is going to end up being without anything. Uvechosar kol, he's going to lack everything. So our sages said, what does it mean to be without everything? Everyone's got something. You have a shoe, you have a shirt, you have an undershirt. Well, he has nothing. So sages said, what does it mean that the Torah curses and says if a person doesn't keep the Torah, he'll end up without anything? That's a wife. One who doesn't have a wife is considered like one who has nothing. Meaning, even if a person thinks he's got a lot, he's Bill Gates. I don't know, is Bill Gates married? I think he's married.
He finally got married for a couple of years, he's been married.
Even if a person has all the wealth in the world, if he doesn't have a wife, then it's like he has nothing. Our tendency is that if we feel that bad has ruled over everything we have, then we don't feel like we have anything. If a person knows that 2 years down the road, he's going to be on the guillotine, he's going to be dead, then all the wealth that he has for those 2 years isn't going to give him much pleasure. He knows it's going to be over. And the same thing is true if a person isn't married, so what's he working for? Where is it all going to end up? In the grave? When a person's married, so he has potential for eternity. And he has what to work for. His home is what to work for. Ve'ulam, adam shadar im isha, a man that's living with his wife. Afilu chaser arbe, even if he's lacking a lot, hare yishlit et hatov al kol ra'ato. He has seen it that what's good rules over everything that's, so to speak, bad in his life. And that's what's going to lead him to the way of life and to the way to eternity, which is complete good. Our sages said that this goes so far, this concept of a man who isn't married has no good. They said the following phrase, Kol mi she'en lo isha, every person that doesn't have a wife, Sharui below simcha, he is without happiness. Below bracha, he is without blessing. Below tova, without good. Below Torah, he doesn't have Torah. Below choma, without a wall, without fortification. Below shalom, without peace. Now, these are supposed to reveal to us what we're going to get when we do get married. And we have to think how to get those. Being that I'm talking in front of a bunch of bachelors, so I think that we're going to continue this aspect of the class next time. So I see everyone's faces going down and down and down. Rabbi, you didn't have to tell us how bad it is to be alone. So enough said for today. On this point, we'll continue next week.
And bring the terror next week also.
No, next week we'll expand on both aspects.
Everyone extend on making Why? Me feel down.
I don't think you have to feel down. I think that you have to recognize what potential the home has and think how to see that potential in the home. How to see that potential comes to produce what it could. And that's why we're focusing on this. Last week we discussed the concept of love and expressing love. And This week, I want us to move over to the concept of kavod. Honor. Our sages said, "Mechabda yoter megufo." Husband is supposed to honor his wife more than himself. And this again touches on what we discussed a minute ago, that you don't judge. Our sages said that a husband has a mitzvah to see to it that his wife is happy baregel, when comes the Yom Tovim. And how is she going to be happy? So it says you buy her jewelry or you buy her new clothes. So you ask yourselves, our sages, probably their wives were on a very high level. And nonetheless, they said that the way to make her happy is buying her jewelry or buying her clothes. And that's the way the world is, and we have to recognize it and accept it. And by the way, we're not so different.
Well,
we all like to be dressed well. Show me one guy who doesn't want to be dressed well. So when you think about your wives, so just remember that they have a greater sensitivity to it. Before we continue, I want to go off on a small tangent. We say, don't judge others, right? Al tadun chavercha shetagel imkomo. Don't judge your friend till you're in his shoes. When you're in his place, then you could judge him. Now, that's especially true in marriage. I'll give one example, which isn't exactly what the point I want to get to, but I think it's an important example, and then we'll discuss this point. Young couple just got married, and after a few months, one evening, she says, "Look, tomorrow I have serious exams, and I'm going to be working till very late at night. I won't make it to bed at any decent hour. Go to sleep without me." So he's not happy, but he's got to get up tomorrow morning. He's got to be bright, and he's responsible either to yeshiva or to his job. He can't be knocked out. So he reluctantly goes to sleep, and fine, he's sleeping. An hour or two pass, and suddenly she walks into the room and turns on the music. Out of a fog, he wakes up, and he looks, and he can't believe it. She turned on blaring music, and he was there sleeping. He looks at the clock, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. What'd she do that for? Doesn't know. He looks at her, she sees him. "Oh, did this bother you? I'm sorry." She shuts it down. He wonders to himself, "What do you mean, did this bother you?" So he puts his head back down, goes back to sleep.
5 minutes later.
Fine. Says nothing. Okay, he's a nice guy. Didn't say anything. Again, a few weeks pass. And again, she tells him one night, "You know, I have again a big exam tomorrow morning. I'm going to stay up late studying. And don't wait up for me." And again, reluctantly, he goes to sleep. And again, comes 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning. And she walks into the room and she starts talking to her friend on the phone as though it were the middle of the day. Again, he gets up and she sees him. "Oh, did this bother you? I'm so sorry." This time he's already biting his tongue and puts his head back down and tries to go back to sleep. Fine. He asks himself, "What's going on with that? I don't get it. Where'd she grow up? What's that?" So, a few more weeks pass, and again the same scene. This time he gets up, it's the middle of the night, again she turns on the music, and he gets up, he's stunned, he looks at her, and he says, "I don't understand. You know I'm sleeping here. How come you walk into the room, and you treat the room like no one's here, and you make such noise? I don't get it." She looks at him, and her face turns downcast, and she says, "I'm sorry." She turns down the music, walks out of the room, and starts crying. He looks at her and says, "What are you crying for? You turn on the music. I'm the one that's up for the third time in the middle of the night. I'm the one supposed to be crying. What are you crying for?" No answer. A few days pass, tries to figure out what's going on. doesn't get a clue. We'll include another point, and we'll get the kavod next week.
That's the end of the story?
No. I'm saying we could end the story. I'm saying the topic of honoring one another, I think we'll get to next week, and we'll include another point in this story. So he's trying. Finally, after 2 or 3 days that he sees she's still upset at him, and he doesn't understand why she's the one that's upset. He feels 100% he's the one that's supposed to be upset. So he tells her, he calls her up in the middle of the day. He says, look, this isn't working. We got to talk. What's going on? So let's meet outside the house tonight. And when we both get home, we'll go for a walk and we'll talk. So they meet outside the house. And they start walking. And he tells her, look, the way I see it, 3 times I went to sleep, 3 times you walked into the room, made noise, and I don't understand it. How do you see it? I'm sure I'm missing something. How do you see it? Explain to me. What's going on? Nothing. I don't understand. Didn't we agree that we're here to talk, to figure out what went on? Guys, you all get this, right? This all makes perfect sense to you. You all understand the guy here, right? So far, he's making a lot of sense. The guy. Because he's using a guy's head. Fine. A few weeks later, things have calmed down. Again, they decide to go out on a date. He meets her. They start walking. How's your day? Great. How's your day? Great. What happened today in the office? What about this coworker? Da 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 da. Blah blah blah. They're talking about all kinds of nonsense, and then they drift back to that evening where she woke him, and they start talking about the evening. And at some point, he asks her, "I don't get it. How come a few weeks ago when we went for a walk, then we couldn't talk about it, and now suddenly we could talk about it? What happened?" So she tells him, this time you showed me you wanted to talk about it. Last time you didn't want to talk about it. You guys don't get it. Okay.
I do. He just wanted to say that he was right.
No, that wasn't the point. He was very open to hearing what she said. But her point was, you have to connect with me first. I'm a girl. You can't come and lay things on the table like a boy. You can't come and say, this is what I see. This is my angle.
So
show me
the
your
answer?
Angle. 1 second. We'll get to the answer. But first, let's understand where's her perspective. You want to talk to me? You got to talk to me on my language. My language is, first tell me you love me. How do you tell me you love me? So, you talk to me. Ask me how my day was. How are things going? Talk to me, small talk.
Blast
connect.
Blast music while
I'm
sleeping.
Wait, we'll get to the music.
That's not right.
We'll get to the music.
So he's definitely that guy, if
you're the first time. Her point was, connect to me. You come in, you just lay the things on the table, you expect me to answer you, that's not going to work. So be prepared for that, guys. We spent the last 2 classes talking about the importance of speaking, so figured I'd show you it on another angle. Even when it comes to trying to talk about things that you think, what do you mean? We gotta get to the bottom line. Isn't this what we're here for? Well, if things are rough, she's going to want you first to connect, reconnect. So remember, for girls, talking is connecting. So you small talk first. And small talk for the guy is, how's your day? Great, yeah, now let's get to business. Doesn't work that way. Remember, you're talking to someone on the opposite end of the spectrum. So you talk 15 minutes, 20 minutes, yeah, not 2 minutes. And you'll get to the point, don't worry. You could try it your way. I mean, everyone here thinks that the guy was very practical and that what he said makes sense. So try it. You'll see in your own married lives. See for yourself. I'm telling you how to get to the solutions before the problems. Most guys don't like it this way, but if they're smart enough, hopefully they remember it when it doesn't work their way. So I'm not telling you to start off my way. You could start off your way and see for yourself. Maybe with your wives it'll work. Who knows? Good luck. What was the difference?
You gotta check it out on the date. Make sure it's on the date.
None of this is relevant to dating. On the date, it's totally different. I told you the joke. How do you know which couple's married? How do you know which couple's dating?
You gotta test it. You have to be
how do you know which couple's engaged? The joke says you walk into a museum, you see a couple that he's doing all the talking, they're dating. It's equal, they're engaged. She's talking nonstop and he's barely listening. They're married. That's the joke.
You're going to get a couple comments from someone tonight.
I'm going to get... I always get comments.
What are you talking about? The guy always talks.
Yeah, okay. You'll see. Like one girl once told me, she said, the guys talk all the dates and the girls make it up the rest of their lives. What happened here? Why did she turn on the music? And why was he so upset? After a while, they remembered that when they were dating, he would talk to her on the phone, and he'd ask her, how come we're talking at 1 o'clock in the morning, and you have roommates, you have your sisters, and how come it doesn't bother them? And she explained to him, she said, I come from a family with 12 kids, and we live in a 3-room apartment. And from the time the kids are born, we don't have quiet in the house when any kid's going to sleep or when any kid is asleep. Because it's impossible. You can't run a house like that. I have a little sister who's a month old. I'm going to stop my life at 7 o'clock when she goes to sleep then. It's impossible. So everyone in that house was accustomed to doing as much noise as they wanted, and everyone was accustomed to sleeping throughout the noise. He was an only child. He lived in a 5-room house.
I figured that out. That was easy. He was used to,
when a guy goes, when someone in the house goes to sleep, the rest of the house becomes silent. You could go to your own room and do what you want. So he's coming from his perspective, and he can't fathom that she would love him and turn on blasting music in the middle of the night. She's coming from her perspective, and she can't fathom that because he's sleeping, she's not supposed to turn on the music. Neither one has bad intentions, but each one is coming from a different perspective. Now, this is a small example where you could hear how both sides meant well. The basic problem when there are arguments is the assumption you don't love me. You don't care for me. We have to begin by taking away that assumption. We have to begin with the opposite assumption. You love me. You care for me. You want what's best for me. Now, I don't understand. I'm very offended. Given that you do, I don't understand how you did A, B, or C. But that given has to be there. If that given isn't there, then you've automatically escalated the argument one step higher. And this is especially true in the beginning. Again, I just want to remind you, everything we're talking about now is after you're married. Don't apply any of this when you're dating. She doesn't love you. This is, you're dating her. You're going to find out if she loves you. You're going to find out if you match. Don't apply any of this to dating. This is a class for afterwards. But the basic assumption has to be that there's mutual respect and mutual love. And mutual respect we'll have to get to next week. Any questions still here? Okay, so we'll start on the honor of mutual respect. The concept of mutual respect. It would seem redundant, but it's not. All too often you see couples who go to other people's homes and he could make a joke at her expense. Someone else could make a joke at her expense and he could laugh. There could be an argument and he'll side with someone else. When you get married, you didn't lose your mind. But if there's no reason not to side with your wife, if there isn't a very, very good reason not to side with your wife, then you should be siding with your wife. Or you shouldn't take sides. Now, this,
even though she's wrong, you don't take
it depends sides. What? It depends what? No, if she sits there and she quotes a pasuk, and she makes a mistake quoting a pasuk, she says, Bereishis bara Hashem... Es haaretz ve'es ha'shamayim. And you hear this, and you could say, honey, you know, it says, es ha'shamayim, es haaretz. Why should you correct her in front of everyone? If someone corrects her, so you could side with the guy and say, yeah, that's what it says. Or you could be quiet. What do you have to be quiet? What do
you have to... You say, she made a mistake, tell her.
I went out many times. I went out with girls who corrected me many times. And by me, that was always a sign. Not of how smart she was. I remember I went out on a date and I quoted the verse in Mishle, Da'aga b'levish yashchena. Now everyone knows that our sages learned from that pasuk yisichena. If you have a worry in your heart, yisichena, tell it over. But people don't know that the verse in Mishle says, Da'aga, worry, b'levish, in a person's heart, yashchena. That's what the verse says. And there are two opinions in Chazal how to interpret that verse. One opinion says, Yesichena, tell it over. And that's the opinion that God people know, because that fits into modern Hebrew. People don't even know what the word Yeshchena means. So as we were talking in conversation, I quoted the verse, Da'agav Levish Yeshchena. So she says, doesn't it say Yesichena? I said, maybe. What am I going to argue with her? Fine, maybe.
It's so not me.
What am I going to argue with her for?
No.
If she would have said it in the way I'm saying it, if she would have said, doesn't it say? So, okay, maybe I would have told her, no, it says like this, and these are two interpretations. But she didn't. She came out hard. No, you know, it says Yesichena. Okay. I'm an Olei Chadash. I'm not going to argue with her. Fine. But this is on a date, it's one thing. What's the point of correcting me? Why? When you're married, it's a totally different story. You're supposed to be looking to honor. You're supposed to be looking to show her positive points. Sometimes people have a competition in the home without knowing it. She has a job where she earns more money, and he feels like his ego is hurt. Sometimes she understands more in chinuch. Often she understands more in chinuch. If you found a good wife, so you should be happy she understands more in chinuch. Should be happy that you could turn to her for counsel. And even if you think you understand more in chinuch, I strongly recommend take counsel with your wives. I'm supposed to be giving a class here on chinuch. I can tell you that I take counsel with my wife all the time. Now she listens to the classes sometimes, but I'm dying to hear what she has to say. She's got an angle that I don't have, and she has understanding that I don't have. And every wife you're going to find, hopefully, is going to have. For sure, she's going to have points where you could learn from her. You got to know to be man enough to listen, and the basic level of honoring is what we're beginning with is not knocking. Not to knock your wives, not to make jokes at their expense. I'm sorry that today it's very common that you come to people's homes and you see this. If you'll say something, or if someone else will say something, let's say someone will say, don't you think maybe you should do X? So I don't think it's right when the husband says, yeah, I think so, but my wife doesn't. What's he doing? The husband-wife has to be a unit. And the husband-wife unit has to be a unit which guards one another's honor. And if we've come to a conclusion we're going this way, we're going this way, and it's no one's business behind the scenes what happened. And next week we're going to discuss with regard to the in-laws and regarding children, the whole concept of honoring one another. But for now, we got to stop.
Only need like 400 or 500 shiurs though.